Welcome back to Too Many Trailers 2020.
I was gonna say in 2020. That's so many twos. So many T's. Oh my god.
That's too many twos.
Too many T's. Too many trailers. Good night.
That's the podcast.
And that's the episode. That's a wrap.
Hashtag new year, new us. Oh my gosh. Welcome back, guys. People.
Everybody.
Femme-presenting people, mask-presenting people.
Listeners.
Non-binary people. We're here.
And so are you.
Oh my god. Honestly, I don't know if it's just my sleep-deprived brain, but I loved that.
Wasn't that adorable?
That was amazing.
We're here and so are you.
We're here.
Episode title.
Episode title. We're here. But anyway, it's 2020. We're discussing movies, trailers, and we're also rounding up the Golden Globes that just happened
a week or so ago. I hope you all enjoyed it and also raged when appropriate.
When appropriately, exactly.
There were some appropriate moments to be mad.
Did not watch it.
I know, I was like texting Kelsey and I was like, this just happened. Wait, are you watching this? She was like, no. And I was like, okay, well, valid. That's fine because, like, I'm only watching 2 seconds and then a thing about Ellen came on and then I had to keep watching.
Yes, I was doing a puzzle and then watching the show spinning out on Netflix, which is...
With Kaya Scodelario.
With Kaya Scodelario.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
This is semi-related to something I'm going to talk about later.
Oh my god! Wow! Which is honestly...
Terrible?
It's... Like the CW, okay, this is how I describe it.
Okay, I think we should talk about the actual trailers that we're here to discuss.
Yes, but I need to talk about spinning out to someone because I've watched 8 episodes and I have no one to talk about it with.
Okay.
But this show is like if they try to make it for the CW, but the CW didn't pick it up and then they added swear words. We should probably move on to what we're actually here to do, talk about spinning out. But to talk about 2 trailers that were either won or were nominated for best movie or best foreign film.
And things that we knew would be nominated through the awards season.
Exactly.
They are like in our award.
Or docket, should say. We should probably create a little spreadsheet. But anyway.
We should.
Yes. But anyway, we're here to talk about the trailers for Parasite and...
The Two Popes. I wrote it all as like hoping that it would be similar enough to the Young Pope that I could like make it be funny and like it in my head.
I wrote two popes
like with like the Roman numeral to make it look funny and like tried to make it look entertaining so that I would enjoy this trailer.
Honestly, I appreciate your effort, but this has nothing to do with Jude Law's hashtag Jude Law's the Young Pope. And I actually, when I was looking through Internet Movie Database for all like the behind the trailer facts for the two popes, they like, kept referencing like the Young Pope.
The Young Pope.
They kept referencing on there, and we were like, just in case you know, this is different than the Young Pope. Here's information on the Young Pope. I'm like, I get it. I've seen the first season.
You were like, I know.
I know as a young Jewish woman about the
Young
Pope.
I know my popes.
I know who my popes are.
Alternate title, I Know My Popes.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we should probably get into discussing about the trailer
for
Parasite. So let's jump right into the behind the trailer facts.
Yes, and so Parasite just won the Golden Globe for Best Foreign Language Film.
Woo! And I can't wait for Oscar nominations on Monday, and I really hope this gets nominated for Best Film. So the director is Bong Joon-ho, and he's directed many things, but most notably for at least American viewers, possibly, is Snowpiercer.
Yes.
Which I think kind of got a big wave in around 2014, I want to say.
So he directed and wrote Parasite,
and
as well as Snowpiercer.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one other writer listed for Parasite.
Yes.
Jin Won Han.
Mm-hmm.
But this is his first writing credit.
Bong Joon-ho?
No.
Or Jin Won Han. Oh, interesting. Okay. So the cast...
And the 2020 is going to be a great year for composers.
Yep, 2020. I mean, okay, the Joker composer won Golden Globe.
No, for I just meant because you just...
So sorry. But the Joker composer, she won a Golden Globe, and I don't remember her name, but, you know, good for her. I think she's, like, the first female composer to win. Hashtag
and
we stand.
And if we look at, like, the what the makeup of our composers have been,
it's mostly
because
guys.
They've been mostly all guys.
Yes, exactly.
The composer is J.L. Jung. Mm-hmm. He did not do Snowpiercer, but he did another Bong Joon-ho film, Okja, which came up a lot.
I didn't see it because I didn't want to cry. But
because you could see, like, from literally you don't even need
picture.
To read the thing. It's just the picture. You're like, oh, little girl befriends a beast.
Mythical, magical creature.
Yes, a mythical creature. Got it.
Gonna cry.
So they did the composer for that, and then another film called Take Point, and then mm-hmm. some smaller things.
Awesome. So the cast is... Okay. I just want to preface, I apologize if I said...
We'd like to apologize to the nation of South Korea.
For pronouncing any of your names wrong, just because I am a stupid American. So we're going to go with that.
I mean, also, you just don't know Korean. Which
but I would
make
like
you...
to. It would make my life so much easier.
Yeah?
Sure.
Okay.
You never know. All right. Remember, I have OCPD. All right. So the cast is Kang Ho Song, Sun Kyung Lee, Yeo Jung Jo, So Dam Pak, Jin Yoon Lee, Hye Jin Jang, Jae Hee Lee, Ji So Jung, Myung Hoon Park, Seo Jun Park, mm-hmm. Kion Rock Park.
I was waiting for all of the last name Park to show up because that's a very
very popular name.
Yes, it's like
very
this,
common.
It's the
say.
Very.
It's like
the
John
Smith,
of English names.
Yes.
All right. So.
All right.
Shall we get into the meat of the trailer?
Oh, let's relate back to Snowpiercer to do our little rainbow
connection.
Yeah, it's a little. It took a little bit to get there. So if we go to Snowpiercer, mm-hmm. and in Snowpiercer, so look, there were probably other connections I could have made, but this is the connection I wanted it to have. So, Luke Pasqualino was in Snowpiercer.
Okay.
And Luke Pasqualino, if you know him, you know him, because he was in Skins. And in the show Skins, not only was there Kaya Scodelario, which is funny, but there's also all the gay shit. Especially Generation 2 with Naomi and Emily, mm-hmm. which has been brought up in this podcast before.
It has.
What a wonderful show. What a wonderful time to be alive. Thanks, Luke Pasqualino,
thanks,
for
Luke
doing
Pasqualino.
The very least.
And thank you, Luke Pasqualino, for not only doing your part in Skins, but also making sure Marianne does not edit out the part about Kaya Scarlario, so we have to keep it in. All right. So, this trailer... I kind of wish, like, going into this, we kind of have to understand, like, we, as a whole, as, like, trailers for movies that obviously are getting awards, we have to kind of remove ourselves from that idea and understand that there are going to be,
yes,
like,
and
those
ones
reviews.
That, ones that are wanting to be
and it's
in awards
so,
season.
It's so hard to do because I always am like, oh, I'm just, like, what if you just, like, showed me the trailer? But also,
yeah, what if
it's
we didn't
like
have writing on the screen every
five minutes? However, so we just have to understand that there is going to be reviews.
It's
gonna always going to happen.
It's going to be a tough few months, Kelsey.
Not looking forward to it. But I am at the same time. Pondering pose. Okay. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. So we kind of, it's, of course, this is going to annoy us. This is always what annoys us in trailers for acclaimed films. Mm-hmm. If you listen to our discussions about, you know, the awards season trailers, it's always going to be there.
Yeah. You know what this trailer didn't have, though?
White people?
Correct. That was exciting. I just meant that it didn't have that mini opening ship
thing. Oh, yeah.
2020 is going to be a great year.
Oh, my God. I'm already, like, thriving for these trailers. And you know what? Neither did the two popes, I feel like. Which was like, oh, my God, two for two.
I know.
Amazing.
amazing.
My brain's getting used to it not being there. I think this is great.
Honestly, I was like, what's going on? They just went right into the trailers.
I know. I didn't have a 5-second break.
I couldn't gather my popcorn to watch.
I'm still drinking my water.
So I loved the color scheme of this.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. I really liked it because it was very, like, pastel-y and also, like, kind of... And even in, like, all of the scenes, there was this kind of, like, this film where it kind of almost like you're looking at through, like, tinted glasses. Like, you're looking through, like, life with rose-colored glasses kind of thing. And I really appreciated that sort of... I don't know if it was intentional or not. I just, like, really liked that idea that we're looking through a lens. And you know, even as a Western audience, we're looking through a lens via watching a South Korean film. And I thought that was very interesting, and I thought that was I don't know if it was a choice, intentional or not, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So we open up on a family inside the very crowded apartment building in South Korea, obviously. And so we see them, all four of them, kind of sitting in their apartment, looking out the window, and you see this guy fumigating,
yeah,
you know, thing. And what you start to notice is that the apartment is very full. They're breaking down cardboard boxes. So you can kind of assume that, you know, they're maybe, like, not the richest of people, which is okay. But their windows are broken.
Mm-hmm.
And they start to say, you know, he's fumigating the area for, like, bugs or something.
And they're like, oh, close the window. And they're like, no, it's going to be free exterminator.
And I honestly, and it set the tone for the whole trailer. And I thought that opening clip for that trailer was a perfect way to do that. Because you're kind of understanding the character automatically.
Yeah.
My
comment on that is that, like, I thought it was, like, a good kind of opening. And I was like, comedy? Question mark?
I put that, yeah, there's a shift change.
We're gonna talk about it.
I anyway, did not expect
in
that.
In the other trailer, I watched a different trailer kind of by accident. After I watched the same one that we're talking about, but in this other one,
mm-hmm.
they had, like, a similar opening where they were opening it to comedy, and it was that same kind of feel, but it wasn't that exact phrase, and I thought it worked so much better.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
Because I was like, because for me, I was like, is that smoke actually, like, something that's going to come into the plot? Like, I was like, what's going on here? Because I couldn't really get a good read on it.
You're right.
And I was like, if it's not going to pay off, I'm not really happy that that was the opening in the trailer. And this other one was a great way to show the family's, like, comedy and, like, sense of humor and
all
that.
Like, kind of the quickness of the humor that's going to be, like, kind of throughout the thing.
But it wasn't related to anything like that. And it was, I was like, perfect.
Okay, great. So.
So it could have been, like, they definitely utilized it better in a different trailer, but I like that they're opening it with here you go.
This is like kind of how it's going to be, like, a darkish.
They're telling you that it's like, this is going to be the feel of it, and then halfway through you're like,
never mind.
Or not. And I'm like, oh, Kelsey, it's going down as one of your horror movies you're allowed to make me watch per year.
I mean, I was already laughing. I mean, like, you have more scenes where, you know, you have, you know, him talking to the friend, you know, the female friend, and she's like, oh, hi, my name's Jessica, I'm from Chicago.
I like when they were coordinating it, and then she was like, before you ring the bell, they were like, let's coordinate and make sure we both know the whole story. That
was
so,
like,
good.
Time. It was so good, and I feel like it was just so well balanced, I feel like, with the kind of, like, semi-seriousness where it's like, he needs a job. You know,
she needs a job.
They're gonna lie to be able to, you know, get into this like very rich area so they can get money and so they can, you know, maybe do more things. Ooh. And I just thought that it was such a great scene to kind of just put in there and kind of just blip in there almost like a parasite. And so
oh my gosh.
Where it's, you're combining the seriousness of a topic, which we'll get into more once we get into more of the trailer, with this, like, kind of darkish humor, which I love.
Yeah, but that, like, the humor that they used in, like, the first half was all, like, very
lighter than the second half of the comedy that they were using-ish. Comedy-ish that they were using.
And in that moment, like, when they're coordinating the, like, story, it wasn't in that other trailer I watched, mm-hmm. and that was one of the things that I, that was the only thing that I put on there in my notes on that second one.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh, I really wish it had had this scene because it was so good.
It was,
so
yeah.
I was like, oh, if you had blended just these kind of two like, trailers together, everything would have been great.
Beautiful.
But yeah, no, I really liked that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So this, obviously, because I kind of know about this movie before, and I wish I knew
and
less.
I did not.
See, I wish I knew less before watching this trailer. I mean, I already, like, love the trailer. I mean, I currently understand, like, what I'm going to be doing after I see this trailer. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wish I had a little bit... I wish I kind of discovered about what this film was before
via
the trailer before someone already kind of explained it to me. So I guess spoiler warning-ish. Yeah. Because what we start to kind of unravel is that this is more about a class struggle and class, you know, about socioeconomic status.
Yeah, which you get in, like, the comedy part at the beginning when they're like, oh, you know... Like, these are how these people live, and, like, the mom who's like, oh, my God, my son's an artist. And the guy's like, is it a chimpanzee? And she's like, it's a self-portrait. And he has to be like,
it's wonderful, amazing. It's amazing.
Or whatever.
And we
Which
we
was kinda, good.
Which was good. And I think that they had the satire of class very, very well done within the trailer. And I feel like it's a really interesting concept, especially to portray, especially in... from Western eyes to Eastern cultures, especially things we don't generally touch upon, and this is why I think it's so great that a South Korean director is talking about class struggles in South Korea, and I think that, especially because this is, can be seen everywhere, and I think that this is really important, and I do understand it. I just wish I didn't know about it, because I felt like I would get a better... feeling about it in
the
theater,
moment. Like
in the moment,
like,
right? And I would have been like, oh man, that's fucking great. Like, I wish I had that moment in the theater rather than in the trailer.
Okay.
That's my only, like, qualm.
Yeah. That it's about class?
No, that not that it's about
like
class.
Which part?
The fact that the reveal, or, like, the idea that it's about class, I wish I didn't know about that. Well,
I think it would have been really hard to have built this trailer without it.
That's very true.
Because I feel like that's going to be such a big... Like, I don't feel like... It's not going to be one of those things where it pops up at the end. I feel like it's going to be very prevalent right from the beginning of the film that's going to be about class. Because, like, even in the conversation that the guy's having with his friend at the beginning, where he's like, your parents look better. He's like, yeah, unemployed.
Right.
It's
very,
and
I
like
guess,
that kind of stuff. And then, like, when he's like, oh, you should tutor this person on English or whatever, and you'll
he's
make
like,
all
I don't
this money,
know English
and he's
or
like,
whatever.
What? And all that. So, like, and like, right as soon as you're like in the house and get that first beginning feelings.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's like, I wish I just didn't see the trailer type of thing, where it's like, maybe this movie is better if you didn't have much information going in. Rather, I don't know, maybe just because I love...
the purpose of our podcast?
Oh my god, am I questioning my life choices? Maybe it's just because, like, when we continue watching the film, it actually turns out to be that this is more of a thriller as well, which I guess maybe that's why I feel like that, because when I'm reading thrillers, I don't want to know a lot before going in, because it's just going to ruin kind of the twist.
Right. And I do get that, and I guess unless it was going to be, like, because, like, I'm trying to think, like, immediately as soon as you, like, started to get the twist, I was like, mother of God, it's like, Get Out, just, I hate it here.
Yeah. Get me out of this party.
I hate this planet. because that's what it felt like. It's, like, the class version of Get Out, or, like, Us.
Right.
But, like, Get Out is another one where you, like, you could get that it was going to be about race...
From the beginning.
You didn't know how insane it was going to be.
Right.
But I guess it could have been put up more like Us, where you knew it was going to be a thriller.
Rather than you didn't know the exact topic.
But I guess it would have been hard to build the beginning of it in a trailer. And I feel like in a foreign language film,
it's so
you really need to be able to hook people in.
Exactly. No. And I agree completely with that. It's the marketing of a foreign language film to Americans. mostly to Americans because they're trying to get this build up for Oscar season and everything, to have people see it, and you have to have a hook, and you have to understand, you know, maybe we can't do this, like, strange thing where we're just putting in random scenes, and then maybe making it more of a thriller, you know, marketed.
Feel from the beginning.
From the beginning, rather than a dark comedy thriller type of thing.
Right, like, because I, as soon as it, like, the beginning of it, I was like, this is good, this is good. And then as soon as it turned to thriller, I was like, turned off. I was like,
but the
done.
Thing is, I didn't expect it to be scary. I legitimately thought it was like, oh.
I didn't either. And it was so a very not pleasant surprise for me. Because I was like, oh, I'd like to see this film. It looks like it could be interesting. And I was really liking, like, the perspective of, like, what it would be like from an outsider to, like, see that version of, like, the higher class and blah, blah, blah. And then it was, like, turned horrorish. And I was like, mother of God. I was like, never mind.
But, I mean, I'd still, I think it was a great twist just because of the fact that you didn't expect it from the trailer.
Yes.
Especially because it was so, like, so deeply satirical.
Yeah, and you just thought it was going to be, like, a satiric comedy, and that was fine.
And because the phrase parasite is, like, something that infects, you know, from the inside, and you're like, okay, like, I get it. Great. Oh, wait, no, oh, you kind of get that, like, that thing, okay, awesome.
The full meaning of Parasite, got it.
I mean, obviously we can't dissect the whole film from one trailer, however, you know, it's something that it's going to draw you in, so, yeah.
But because it's a thriller,
mm-hmm.
you know what I think that they're not going to do? That, like, every film similar to this kind of does, where you have, like, the young male tutor coming in to tutor the children.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, maybe he's not going to sleep with the mom.
Oh,
that would be nice.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice for once.
Again, it's not...
To not have the young, like, male person come in and then eventually start sleeping with the wife.
It's not an American thriller. So, generally in American thrillers, there's always some sort of, like, sexual... violence towards women into it and everything.
Well, it wasn't even like in a violence kind of way. It's more of a like,
oh, I'm gonna sleep with you.
Yeah, no, not in a violent, not in a violent way. Where like soon like this.
We watch vastly different films.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh yeah, sexual violence and thrillers. Get it?
And I was like, oh
no, that's
not what I meant.
I think you mean like in more like
no, I mean like you
independent
know
film
no,
type things.
Not
no.
always. Just in like mainstream.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know what I mean? They like introduce like the young male like tutor
or
whatever, and automatically they start sleeping with the wife or someone
someone in
that
family.
Caricature.
Yeah, exactly.
The like the matriarchal
character.
And I was like, maybe because it's a thriller, they won't do that.
Hopefully,
that'd be cool.
That'd be great.
That'd
if
be
it was
like
just like a film about class and class struggles
and satirical. One step forward, one step back. Because if it was going to be about class struggles, I was like, maybe she's going to start sleeping with the young, poor help.
It'd be interesting if it
that's
was, like...
not surprising. Because that's, like, the same thing of,
it's
like...
It's the same thing.
It's that same, like, stereotype, like, can't think of the word.
Trope.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was like,
always
the thing that I know. the same trope of, like... the mom sleeping with, like, the gardener or the landscaper or the pool boy.
That trope.
Where it's, like, the rich,
widow.
Younger wife or widow.
Right. Or just wife.
Or just wife.
That wants to do her thing.
With a younger, hot guy.
I mean.
And that's fine.
You go, but don't kill her.
But, like, nope.
Yeah.
Not
nope,
where Mary Ann
not
goes,
today.
But this is good.
I mean, that's pretty much my notes.
Oh, I had... Also, did you, when they were doing that, like, Midsummer-esque, like, fast-paced thing towards the end where they were, like, flipping through all the scenes, and I was like, God, I don't like it. You know what I really didn't like? I was like, why are you putting hot sauce on a pizza in the middle of this fucking thing? What is this? I was like...
Okay, I thought it was blood. But, like...
Well, they're squeezing out of a packet.
Oh, I thought... to me, it was like, oh, I get it. It's, like, someone...
Referencing blood. I know,
blood.
But I was just, like... I was, like... I was, like, immersed more in
but
the trailer
also...
into that point, and then they did that, and I was, like, I was, like, yellow
I was
street.
So concerned about the spiciness of a
no,
pizza.
No, not because of that. But I was just, like, why would you... Like, I can get it, but also at the same time, I was, like, was that necessary for your trailer?
Aesthetics, Marianne.
But also, you just lost people.
It lost you.
Yeah, well, you lost me in many places in this trailer.
Lost you halfway through the trailer.
It did. As soon as she like the thing came up behind, I was like, nope.
Nope. Yeah.
Well, they could have just left it alone.
They could have, but you know what?
It would have been a directorial choice. Great. I think it was actually a writing choice.
It was both.
Because I don't think you get to direct and say, now we're going to make it a thriller.
Bong Joon
did both,
so.
I know, so it was his choice for both.
Both. And also maybe Jin Won-han had some sort of
say in it.
Who knows? But, well, because our local independent theater in our city closed, much to our chagrin and dislike.
Despair,
I should say. I'm most likely going to watch this on VOD. Most likely, if Amazon Prime has it,
someone will have it up before
the Oscars.
Yes.
Because I really don't want to go to the next local, which is about 10 miles away.
Which, in retrospect, is really not that far, and that's probably like much closer than other people's closest independent.
I'm gonna vouch my privilege here.
But I get it because I also don't want to go there. Because the old one was like 2 minutes from us. But also we live in an area where it's easier for us to access independent films.
But yes, some of you do. How about you, Marianne?
Never.
Okay. Will I have to like force you to watch this film?
No, you could not.
Okay. Well,
there is literally nothing about this that can make me watch this. even if there were lesbians in it, honestly, I still would not watch it because I don't watch thrillers with lesbians because one of them almost always dies.
In American films.
Do I need to now go through
Am
and
I
find...
making a point?
Do I need to go find foreign films where they kill off lesbians? I could do it!
I don't want you to.
There's a compiled list.
I'm sure there is.
Of dead
lesbians?
Yes.
Okay.
On Autostraddle. We keep a running tab.
Good. Not good. Not good. Anyway, there's going to be now a limited series because of the success of this film with Bong Joon-ho and Adam McKay producing on HBO, which... Honestly,
Adam McKay, we know him from something.
Yes, he does a lot of like This Is 40 type films, Paul Rudd type things. But it also, that is a very loaded statement I think that's a very loaded statement because of the fact that HBO is a premium service and this is all talking about class struggles, so yeah. I'm just putting it out there. I don't know how I feel about it going on HBO or any sort of... What do you mean? It's capitalism and it's there.
Right. And it's going to change a lot of the vibe.
Yes. And I think we'll shake up the thing. I just hope that they do it not with a white cast. I just hope they do it like in also South Korea.
What a novel idea.
Class struggles with not...
With not white people.
Not white people. Groundbreaking as... Meryl Streep would say. All right. So we're going to take a little break. And then we're going to come back to talk about
the two popes.
Talk to you soon.
Hello, and welcome back from our break.
Yeah, from our little break. I don't know what I'm doing. I just had a bagel. I'm very happy right now.
Everybody's good. Everybody's great here. We hope you guys are great too.
I'm very happy you're still listening. If you're still listening, this episode is so crazy. We're recording.
We are so
after
sorry.
After 10.
it's past my bedtime.
Yeah. Same.
So
I fell asleep
at 8 p.m. the other day.
P.m. and I woke up at 6:30 at like my alarm and I go, what happened here? I went to bed with my lamp on, my books to the side, it fell on the ground.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I'm just gonna fall asleep for 5 minutes, which is never true.
And that's always a lie. That's your body giving you a flat out lie.
My body's like, bitch, you're gonna be sleeping. What the fuck are you doing?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Let's move on
right along.
All right, so our next trailer that we're talking about is
The Two Popes.
We're having a two party today.
I know. Two popes.
Too many trailers.
The two genders. The two popes.
Are you Pope Benedict or are you Pope Francis?
Is this going to be a new BuzzFeed quiz?
Oh my god, which Pope are which you?
Pope? BuzzFeed, I need it.
BuzzFeed, are you, or you could throw in a third, because, you know, non-binary.
Yeah.
So there has to be a third option. Oh god, there's
it's
so many.
The, it's Rob, the, this is getting the third, worse, the so, like, third option.
The third option.
The, or the are white you smoke.
The young Pope. Oh god, the white smoke! That's so funny. I was going young Pope. Because, like...
Because Jude Law.
We love a good young Pope.
We stand a young Pope.
A Jude Law.
A Jude Law young Pope. Which is actually a legitimately good series. I think people should watch it. It's very interesting. Kind of some weird moments in it, but...
It's also just good to, like, see the pictures of Jude Law with, like, the sunglasses on with the fucking Pope robes.
Like, smoking a cigarette, just, like, chilling.
Fucking cannot. Like, honestly, why is that not my phone background?
Honestly, it's kind of you in a nutshell without the smoking. I mean, it's kind of the sunglasses, the official...
gives no fucks.
Yeah, gives no fucks attitude, and, like, in some sort of official, like, uniform, being like, what up?
What up, bitches? Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. Retroscratch. That's me. How did I end up here?
You're probably wondering how I ended up here.
That's it. Oh, that's too funny. Anyway,
oh boy.
We're going to be discussing the two popes, the official trailer for the, I think, Golden Globe nominated movie starring a lot of people. But let's go behind the trailer facts to discuss who the fuck directed this thing.
Well, we are really losing
sight. Oh my god.
It's a nice guy named, I think he's a nice guy.
His name is nice dude. His name is Fernando Mireles, I think.
Yeah. Mireles.
Mireles, yeah.
Who knows? He also directed the opening ceremony for the Rio Olympic Games.
Damn.
Yep. And a movie called Blindness. And one called The Constant Gardener. Motherfucker, do you actually know these names?
Yes. Yeah, so
I mean, these movies?
So Blindness, I think, was based on a book, I think. It's a very, like, important book. It's all about, like, how things spread, and it's, like, kind of, like, one of those types of books. It's actually, like,
I hate
a very
every time I look
book.
Up things, and I'm like, I know nothing. This person's done nothing of, like, major credit. And then Kelsey's like, this renowned film. And I'm like,
I wouldn't say it's a renowned film. I would say it's probably one of the
well-known.
It's a well-known book. And I think it got like, the Nobel Prize of Writing or something, I think.
Well, Jesus.
I think. I will have to double-check myself for corrections quite in next episode. And then The Constant Gardener is a film. It's a film. I don't know if it has any accolades or not.
I don't either. I just wrote down.
But it's a film. I know it's about I think the apartheid in Africa. I think.
Wow.
Let me double check that because I don't want to be spreading misinformation.
What flavor is this? It looks
it's
like it's
sangria.
It's just funny because from this angle, it looked like it said like winter S and then a Q, and I was like winter squash. Jalapeno lime and winter squash.
I just threw up in my neck.
You're welcome. Just a little throwback to 2018, our opening year of this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, it's a thriller film from 2005 with Ralph Fiennes and Rachel Weisz. It says, assigned to a new post, reserve British diplomat Justin Quayle relocates to Kenya with his lovely young wife, Tessa, an activist for social justice. Tessa is found murdered out in the wilderness, circumstances point to her friend, Dr. Arnold Bloom Hubert Kayunde. But it is soon clear that he's not the killer. Grief-stricken and angry, Justin sets out to uncover the truth behind Tessa's murder, and in the process, he unearths some disturbing revelations. So,
unearthed because he's a constant gardener. Wow, I hate this world.
But I do, yeah, so it does take place in Kenya. I don't know if it takes place
in that part. It's not about
apartheid, then. Okay, we can just...
Cut that right out.
But The Constant Gardener is a film I just always remember seeing at Blockbuster.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I just remember, like, seeing that film everywhere. Anyway,
the writer
is Anthony McCartan. He has written some big name things recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Do tell.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, wow.
He was a writer on that. He was a writer on Darkest Hour and The Theory of Everything.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Can I just tell you that before this, he, like, took, like, a 20-year break from, like, TV and movie writing.
I mean,
and, like, everything before that had been, like, really, like, small, crappy looking.
I guess he was like, let me reflect on my life and then come back.
And then he came back.
Full force.
Come back strong. I don't know if he did those other films in collaboration with other writers, but yeah. This is him solo.
Good for him.
He's the only credited writer.
The composer. Let's move on to the composer. Oh, look at me remembering things.
Is Bryce Dessner. Dessner. And I was like, your name looks... Or actually, his picture on IMDb, I was like, you look kind of familiar. He did the music for The Kitchen, also.
Oh, returning composer.
Yeah, welcome back.
Welcome back, Bryce.
May we call you Bryce?
You know, friends.
You're like a friend of the pod at this point.
All right, so let's get on to the cast. So we have Anthony Hopkins, Jonathan Pryce. We have Wan Minhui, Luis Nieco, Christina Banegas, Maria Yuselo, Renato Scarpa, Sidney Cole, Achille Brughini. So sorry about the heightened Italian accent.
We went from Korean to, like, Italian and Spanish, so, like, I'm so sorry for you.
Yeah, I apologize. So sorry for me. So I apologize if, I apologize. I'm just going to blanket statement, sorry. So we have Federico Tor, Germán da Silva, Nicola Okunzo, and Sergio Santana. This cast was huge, so I kind of had to, like, shorten it a bit. So that's just, like, kind of, like, the main crew, I feel like. All right, so do you want to get right into this trailer?
Should we jump right in?
We should jump right in.
You know what we should do first?
We should do a little bit of a game called... So we have... 6 degrees of Bill Nye!
Woo! The crowd goes wild! So... When I was first looking at this, I was like, well, this might be hard. And then, so I was going through all the stuff from Hopkins, like everything he's done, and I was like, all right, let's take a look. And I was like, oh, you were in a film or like televised a thing of King Lear. I was like, that's British. Let's see if there's a connection to Bill Nye.
That's British.
And there was, but that's an actual like 6 degrees... Like to get to Bill Nye.
From King Lear? Damn.
Yeah, King Lear. And then it had Jim Broadbent, who played Slughorn in Harry Potter. And then there Bill Nye was in Harry Potter.
There we go.
But I found a quicker one.
Ooh, even better.
Jonathan Pryce was in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes, he was.
And so was Bill Nye.
Oh, there we go.
As Davy Jones.
Damn.
So you just don't see his face, but you hear his wonderful voice.
As we know.
And really, that's... I'm here for.
That's all you care about, so.
I mean, he's a very nice guy.
Yeah, he's a great
guy. I care about all of him.
But like, honestly...
Mostly about, like, how you speak. And that's Ben.
The 6 degrees of Bill Nye! Alrighty, so, when I first was watching this trailer, it was really interesting because they used, like, real-life footage. Which was really interesting, and it almost made it feel like this was going to be a documentary. Thank you.
Because when you saw people, like, outside the Vatican, like, waiting for the new pope, I was like, you know for damn sure that is, like, footage from the news.
Like,
like they did not, like, go crowd the Vatican City again for this. Like, you don't film.
You can't.
In the Vatican City.
You can't.
Probably not.
Probably not. I mean, like, even so, even, I mean, Netflix has the budget to, like, recreate it on green screen. However,
right. Also, this is a Netflix film.
Oh, yeah, we should say, this is produced and, like, The Irishman.
Right, which is, like, this year they're really going outside their normal brand.
Yeah.
Like, The Irishman and Two Popes is, like, what?
I mean, I can understand it because, there was Roma last year.
True.
Which was technically produced by Netflix.
I know, but I forget that.
That was a... That was, like,
That know that it was on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, they've so far expanded out of their,
it's, like out of their, like, region niche. Because of the fact that, you know, there's so many more streaming things this time around.
Yeah.
So they're like, what can we do? Let's have Martin Scorsese direct a film. And so...
For Netflix.
For Netflix. And he was not happy about that. Anyway, moving on from that... yeah, it was definitely, like, a lot of the times, though, Netflix does use, like, real footage, which is really interesting, and I don't understand the process of that because of the fact that they do it constantly. I don't know how they get the rights to this footage, especially when they show someone's face. So I don't know if, like, the newscaster was a real newscaster or they just, like, made it look like it was, like, older, quote-unquote, yeah, and they just, like, used an actress to, like, be an amazing news anchor. Because if that was an actress, she did a great job.
Good for her.
You know what? She should win an Oscar.
for her role as the newscaster. Unnamed newscaster.
Uncredited newscaster, number one. Yeah, it just, like, it was very, like, mixed media, which I thought was really interesting.
It was cool.
It was cool. It was very fast-paced, though.
It was very fast-paced. And like, they were, like, talking and, like, walking and talking. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't keep up. Like, it was, like, that kind of a feeling that, yeah, it was, like, rushed and stuff towards the beginning.
Exactly. I honestly had a pause to collect myself because I was like, okay, what is going on? Okay, this is based off the thing where the Pope retired because he was like, I'm out. And I thought it was really interesting that, because I don't follow the Pope, but it was really interesting because I don't know what happened. Obviously, this might be, like, definitely fictitious, but it's definitely an interesting
view. It's, like, realistic.
Realistic view. Ooh, contemporary YA. No, not young adult. Contemporary fiction books. Just like that, where it takes, like, a real-life situation and places... Is this Pope fan fiction?
Of everything that we've said on this entire episode... That was the most unexpected.
I mean, am I wrong, though?
You're right. It's taking an element of something and introducing what you thought happened in the in-between that was not filmed. Fuck, Kelsey.
I mean, I had to, like, really pause to collect myself because I was like, okay, so,
it's
like
an interlude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
So what's going on, essentially, is that we find out that something happened behind the scenes, and then we, like, kind of cut to real-life footage of people being like, oh, the Pope retired, you know, and then, or the Pope's retiring or something, and then everyone's going like, what the fuck? And then going back to, like, this, like, single cam footage of, like, the bishop, and that we already know that there's going to be some sort of friendship-ish going on between the two, and then it cuts back, and it keeps cutting, and then all of a sudden, we go to Steadicam, and I'm like, oh, shit, okay.
You're like, whew, feel like I just sat down.
Yeah, and I even wrote the same thing from Parasite. I also watched there be a shift change, and I was like, all right, 55 seconds in.
And
switch. There we go. And it was, like, halfway in. It was really interesting. But, so, they talk about, it's... You kind of get a feel after, like, the Steadicam, because they're filming in a helicopter.
Oh, my God. I was like, why are we doing this?
What's going on? This could have totally been on the ground.
I know, right. I was like, why are you guys in a helicopter? Where's your security? What are you doing up there?
Pope security.
Pope security is no joke.
No joke. We're not going to talk about that. Pope security is no joke. And I just thought it was really interesting that the Pope has a helicopter, too. So.
Right? Is it his helicopter?
Is it the Vatican's helicopter?
Does the Vatican have multiple helicopters?
Do they have a helipad? Does the Vatican have a helipad?
Probably.
Damn.
Just in case of emergency.
You never know. The Pope got to go.
Did you know that the Pope has its own private escape route out of the Vatican?
What? Is it like a tunnel underneath the city?
Yeah.
Holy shit, can I be the Pope so I can just have a tunnel to escape? Because that would be great.
It's his escape route. Because there was a thing. So, this summer I went to Italy.
Oh, excuse me.
And one of the things I was, like, looking up, like, different or interesting things to do in Rome. And one of the things that came up was that on somebody's blog, they talked about how it's not always offered, but you can travel through the Pope's, like, one of their former escape routes. Like, not his current one.
Be like, oh, shit, I ended up in the Vatican. Oh, fuck, I gotta go.
Well, you start in the Vatican.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it's like the Vatican.
Because the Vatican is, like, in Rome, pretty much. Like,
oh, that's right. It's its own city. Own city and state in Rome, yes.
But the escape route is, like, starts in Vatican City and then you end up in Rome. But you could travel through parts of it.
Is it, like, a marathon? Is it 26.2 miles?
Probably not. Have you seen the Popes? They're not youthful.
Oh. They're dragging their walker. We're like, gotta go!
I doubt it's a full marathon.
Also, I apologize if this is, like,
offensive,
I guess. Blanket statement, sorry. But
not Catholic.
Not Catholic, so there we go. Anyway, so
skip it if you don't want to listen to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I just thought it was really, like, it was interesting about that the movie is bringing up these interesting points about this quote-unquote friendship and the behind-the-scenes aspect, which we don't, I mean, obviously we don't see, but it was, like, an account, and I thought it was really interesting. I thought that part of it was really intriguing to me.
In some of the pictures, like, their promo pics, I was thinking, it was, like, showing them, like, walking in, like, what looked like a garden, and I was like, oh my god, are they friends? And then you watch the trailer, and you're like, okay, maybe not friends, maybe, like, mentored and being told what to do.
Exactly.
Got it. Because it definitely made them seem more like a...
Their promotional stuff, it was like, oh, we're buddies. We're going to be talking so much.
I know. It's like young Pope vibes.
Young Pope vibes.
And then I turned on the drill. I was like, no.
No, not young Pope vibes.
I was like, this isn't what I signed up for.
It was really... And I did like the aspect of seeing like them voting and like the white smoke going on. And like... those aspects of being like, you're gonna be the chosen pope. Like, just so you know, like,
I'm gonna retire and you're gonna be the pope. And he's like, no, I don't wanna be, and you can't retire. It's a rule. And he was like, fuck the rules. I'm gonna retire. You're gonna be the new pope. Could you imagine if you had like a trilogy series of like extended like series or films,
extended, and
it was like
Pope universe.
It's like young Pope, two Popes, new Pope. Combine this with a Star Wars episode, I would totally name it
a new Pope.
He's a new Hope or a new Pope.
Can't. Oh my god.
This is what happens when you allow me to record too late at night. You're welcome, Comedy Gold. We should probably stop talking now.
A new Pope. Just like the Pope with the lightsaber back.
So I'm gonna make that into a meme.
The Pope just holding up the DVD of Star Wars. That's my favorite fucking meme. Guys, content's gonna be great.
There's gonna be a lot of posts.
Oh my god. I mean, like, it... I don't know how I feel about this film just because of the fact that... it's not something I'm particularly interested about, even though I do love the new Pope, the young Pope with Jude Law. It just seems like too kind of newsroomy, too inside baseball almost. Like, I feel like if you're like very interested in this religion and, or even the Holy Pontiff himself, I feel like you would be interested of the inside baseball of it, of like, okay, this is like everything we need to know, like, this is like quote unquote what happened, end quote. And I feel like this could probably be like interesting to some.
This is Netflix really trying to appeal to a different audience.
Oh, absolutely. This is like an older generation, mm-hmm. people who are like movie people.
Yes.
I mean, more so, not so much like popcorn people, but like people who are like, I'm a film critic and I am looking for content.
And I would like to watch something with somebody, an esteemed actor. Ooh.
Ooh. Anthony Hopkins.
Portraying a Pope.
Yeah, and I just was like, oh, I get it. I get it. And I understand people who do like this film. I get it. I just feel like it's going to be just something that I would fall asleep to, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, the trailer just made it, like, the shift change... I kind of wish they kind of kept up the pace, even though it would have been wrong for the film to do that because of the fact that I don't think this is a fast-paced film at all.
No.
And I, obviously the second half of the trailer shows that, but I feel like it was just kind of like wibbly-wobbly, and I was like, oh, okay, we're going there? Okay, great. Now we're talking about the inside stuff.
And I think that's an interesting concept.
It is.
And I think a lot of people are interested in the, like, inner workings of the hierarchy of the church.
It's the politics of the church, and which is a very interesting
aspect. It's also a very, like, I like to watch documentaries and learn things.
Right.
Would be kind of interested in this as well.
Yes, I feel like it's just something you need to sit down and watch, and I feel like I don't know if they're showing, well, they obviously have to show it in theaters if they're going to get, like, an Oscar nominee, or is this considered a TV movie?
Are they showing The Irishman in theaters?
Yes, they are. They did. They did, at least.
Then they'll probably show it at enough theaters to...
Yeah, to... That's... I think there's, like, a qualification you have to be like, oh, we're in enough theaters.
You had to have some amount of a release, but science doesn't mean release.
Exactly.
Because this is, like, uncharted waters we're walking in.
Yeah. Pirate flags are going away. But... So, I can understand the people who would like it. And yes. I give more credit, you know... All the credit to you. This trailer didn't want to make me watch it. And I feel like there was a little bit of a... I feel like it should have just stayed one tone.
Yes.
And I think that it would have been better rather than going from, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, and we're sitting down to have a cup of coffee right now type of tone.
Do you think the Pope's drink coffee?
Is it against... the cardinal law? I mean, no. Maybe. Do you think they have a Starbucks in the Vatican? Or do you think someone runs out, no. Like a Pope has an intern that's like, gets like a...
Well, they probably drink some nice, like, Italian
real coffee. Never mind.
Oh my god, you thought I just meant to, do they drink like Starbucks? Could you imagine the Pope
drinking like a Java Chip Frappuccino?
Like a frap behind his big robe so nobody sees?
I'm sorry, I just got a Java Chip Frappuccino Trenta. With whipped cream and Java chips. I would like the Pope to indulge sometimes. Is that a sin? Yes.
Anyway, so yeah, it's an interesting concept-wise, and I think having Anthony Hopkins was a good choice. And
he's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with
Hopkins. I was interested that they didn't pull anybody else, like, super notable in.
Which I'm kind of happy about.
No, I'm not mad about it, but I was surprised.
Agreed. And I do think that they probably had someone for Jonathan Pryce's. They probably had someone, like, lined up, like, who's that? There's a British actor. Oh, no, he died. I was thinking of someone else. Like, John Hurt, I would say. No, I believe he passed away.
John Hurt?
Jonathan Hurt.
I don't know.
Doctor
That's
Who.
Okay.
Yeah. But I feel like definitely, like, older British man would have, like, probably more notably...
I mean, they needed somebody, like, to at least look Argentinian.
Right, exactly. I would hope that they would have, you know, tried a little bit. They have to... I mean, if they're doing, like, a recent, super
Most
recent...
Most of the other actors that are playing people,
Sidney,
like,
Cole
Argentinian
looked like...
Are actually Argentinian.
Yes,
actors,
I mean, there was a lot of, like, you know, Portuguese names, and Sidney Cole, who played, you know, the black, you know, cardinal and everything, they got pretty much everything. The casting was very well done. I was happy, and I was like, oh, okay, so we at least got, like, the people that are being portrayed somewhat correctly, at least, and so...
Wow.
Wow, what a concept. But yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So are you going to see this film?
No.
Same.
Yeah, I don't have any, like, real vigor to watch it. I've heard it's good, and I feel like if I just have nothing to do, sure, I'll keep it in the background. Like, I'll walk around cleaning my apartment while watching it, but I'm not going to, like, aggressively go to sit down and watch this film. It's just, I mean, it's on Netflix, so I feel like it's going to be on there. It's going to be, like, Golden Globe nominated on, like, the screen or whatever. So, yeah.
I feel like the way that they could have gotten more people to watch it would have been to, like, not try to separate it from the young pope, almost in a way, that would have drawn in. Like, because honestly, when I just saw the pictures, I was like, oh, maybe it's going to be a comedy about the popes.
I honestly thought that, too. I thought it was going to be more like it's going to be very satirical, like, hearted, or something,
satirical, like, or something like that. And where, I was like, oh, the pope, this is going to be good. And then I watched it, and I was like, oh, no.
And I feel like...
I think, honestly, I would have had a much higher chance of watching this if I hadn't seen the trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, watching it for 5 minutes and then stopping it.
And be like, oh, this is not what I want to watch.
Right.
Right. You know, but you, like, you would get drawn in more if there was kind of more...
Which is funny, because I said that for this film, and you said that for the last film.
Oh, my
Connections.
Between two hosts sitting across from each other.
Between two trailers. All right. Do we want to do a little business?
Thank God.
I know. I'm like, Let's wrap it up here, people.
So let's do some business. All right. So if you want to talk to us about these trailers, we are on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Too Many Trailers. That's T-W-O, Many Trailers. If you would like to talk to us longer, maybe about the Pontiff, you know, or the Holy Pontiff, or, you know, Parasite, or...
Whatever you want.
I mean, like, if you just need someone to talk to, you can email us at...
TooManyTrailers@gmail.com. That's T-W-O, manytrailers@gmail.com.
I mean, like, talk to us about the trailers, not just, chat. You can chat with us through social media. If you would like to continue to listen to us after this episode, which is insane if you want to.
pretty much.
You can listen to us through iTunes, obviously. You can always rate us. However you want to rate us. And
rate and review,
which would be great. 5 stars would be beneficial, as that can always push us up into people's feeds.
You can also listen to us on Anchor, Spotify, Overcast, and Google Play.
Yes. That seems to be us about it for our hefty business.
Yeah.
I think we're going to start with the first parting words of the year. Remember.
Yeah, happy 2020. Happy 2020. This is our first recorded episode of 2020.
Which is wild.
Wild.
And remember, people, don't judge movies by their trailers. Leave that up to us. Have a great whenever. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Where's the thingy?